Okay?
Yeah, but I didn't mean to detract.
No, this is fine. The Baal Shem Tov says that every time you hear something, it's from Shemayim. So you have to respond. So Bruce has brought up a question. This is not the topic this morning, but I have to respond, so we'll use the time for this. When you learn Mishnah, you're learning a topic, and you're learning views, and it's clear. And learning Mishnayis, as you know, is much easier than learning Gemara for a very simple reason. It was written, or edited to be more precise, as a book, as a piece of literature. There aren't any discussions in the Mishnah. There could be a machlokas, a difference of opinion, but there isn't a discussion. But however, you haven't seen many students that say, I hate Mishnah, but you've met many students and adults that say, I can't stand learning Gemara. Gemara is difficult. First of all, it's an Aramaic. Yeah. Second of all, it's difficult and whatnot. What's the difficulty in the Gemara? If I can sum it all up, it's not the Aramaic. Most of the Gemara, if you ever do a survey, is in Hebrew. You want to know what's hard in the Gemara? And by the way, today, the Aramaic shouldn't bother you. You have Schottenstein, you have Steinsaltz, the Aramaic in Sino, if you want to go back
I'm
to the Queen's English.
Baruch Hashem! I'm reading it in the art school.
So, if I can sum up the problem of the Gemara, it's that it's totally and utterly disorganized. As opposed to the Mishnah, which was edited as a piece of literature, the Gemara, edited by Abaye and Rava, was not edited as a piece of literature. But rather, everything is mevulgan, it's one big mess. Now why is that? The answer is twofold. Number one, the Gemara was meant to be a protocol. Not a piece of literature, a protocol. What's the difference between a piece of literature and a protocol? It's very simple. If I give a class now to you, and here comes our friend Bruce, he's going to transcribe what I say. So I give him the recording, he's going to transcribe word for word what I say. Then he gives me the results of his, how do you say, transcription?
Transcription.
Whatever. He gives it to you. You're going to put it out now as a book? Of course not. You're going to do what?
Edit.
You're going to edit it. Sometimes I say things in a tangent. Sometimes my English is not up to par. I make mistakes in grammar. After all, I've been living in Israel for over 20 years. I'm like, you can't expect me to speak English normally. Right? Don't answer.
You couldn't do it before. You sound like Jackie Mason.
Now,
what is this with the flies in December?
Now, Dr. Savir, if you take a protocol, you're not going to edit it. You're going to put it out as a protocol. When you're in court, and the lady or the man who's sitting there doing like this, transcribing every word that happens, they give it, eventually it's in the protocol, they're not edited. Sometimes there's a tangent, there's a scream, there's a yell, there's a shout, there's a pause. That's what's going to be in there. For some reason, when Abaye and Rava decided to put out the Gemara, they wanted to leave it as a
transcription,
rather than a piece of literature. And therefore, if you open up any page of Gemara, it's one big discussion. You are reading the live protocol of the discussions in the study hall, in the Beis Medrash. So, comes along Abaye and says something. Rava comes and disagrees. You're reading it as a protocol. And on and on and on. There isn't, within the Gemara, any sort of literature. It's a live protocol. So that's the first reason why it's difficult.
No vowels. No punctuation.
No punctuation.
Suppose a question is it a
comment? That's number one. And indeed, in the Gemara, because it's a live discussion, not only is it a protocol, but because it's a protocol, it's totally disorganized. So sometimes a rabbi says something and goes on a tangent. That happens to all of us. But my question this morning is not why is it like that. Now we understand the basis and the source.
Why do they leave
But it how like come that? They leave it like that? Yeah. And here I believe we're getting to something fundamental about Judaism and about learning Torah. We are not learning about the Torah. And anyone that thinks I'm learning about the Torah, could be a non-Jew, could be a Jew. I'm learning about this religion called Judaism and about the Torah that they keep. I'll give a shir.
That's the issue of Judaic studies in universities now. That's a big...
Absolutely.
That's the question exactly.
Judaic studies, if I can paraphrase it in the words of Chazal, it's not Talmud Shemevi Li Yedei Ma'aseh. It's not learning in order to do. It's learning about a religion. Now, even if you're Jewish, that can happen. You can learn about Lulav and Esrog doesn't mean you have to take it. You can learn about the Abaye and Rava and what he said and what he didn't say. Doesn't mean anything to you. You can learn about the Korbanot, though it has nothing to do with you. I believe Abaye and Rava were geniuses. You know why? Because when they edited the Gemara, they left it as a protocol because they didn't want you to learn about Judaism. They wanted you to be part of Judaism. How do you become part of Judaism? Well, if you read Mishnah, you're learning about Tudeot, about Judaism. When you learn Gemara, you're part of the discussion. You're reading the live discussion. And now you can add your part to it. It's a live discussion. They wanted you to learn something that would make it not only alive, but you would be part of it. How would you be part of it? Because it's a discussion. It's a back and forth. And then, when people learn, there's a back and forth as well. If it's a piece of literature, you just learn, translate, finished. I was once in a shul between Mincha Ma'ariv in America. An elderly rabbi was reading the Mishnah Berurah, translating it, and then that was it. There was no discussion, there was no insights. It was just reading, translating, reading, translating. I didn't understand it for the life of me. I mean, there's many good translations out there. Why does the rabbi have to get up and read and translate? But that's the way it was. So ultimately, when you want to gain a bekiyus about what Torah is, you can do that. But if you want to be part of the development of Torah, then it's only if you're part of a live discussion. And the live discussion is right here. It is as if we open up a page of Gemara, Abaye and Rav are in the room, and they're having a boxing match. And one is punching out the other. And they're trying to punch him back and defend himself.
That's what we do here, actually.
That's what we do.
That's what we do here. I mean,
that's not learning about Torah. That's learning Torah. That's learning Torah. And this will explain to you how come, and Jews are very smart, when they talk about learning, they never say teaching, they always say learning. What's the difference between teaching and learning?
Learning is an active process. Learning is a process that you participate in. Teaching is you've got an active and a passive.
There you go.
The teacher teaches and the student
receives. Excellent. Teaching?
Well, it's a passive activity.
Teaching? Joe Schmo comes into the class. Good morning, Joe Schmo. You're an absolute unequivocal ignoramus. I'm going to fill your head with knowledge. Sit down, start taking notes. That's teaching. What's learning? Good morning, Joe Schmo. Welcome to the class. Let's learn together. I'm going to say something, I'm going to ask you. Then you're going to say something, then you're going to ask me.
That's the Socratic method.
Absolutely. And that's exactly the way we learn around this table. You never see me just talking. Every time we talk, I ask a question, I hear your opinions, we go, we have a discussion. That's what the Gemara is. And this is why, Bruce, the Gemara is so difficult, as opposed to Mishnah Berurah, Shulchan Aruch. There, it's just laws. Simple. Read, translate, you got it. Here, it's a discussion. Well, in the discussion, you have to keep your mind right. Right? He said what? What did he say against him? How did he defend himself and whatnot? Now, there are ways to organize a page of Gemara, and there's many different techniques out there, from using charts to using flow charts to many other things. But yeah, can never forget, you're part of the discussion. And when teachers teach Gemara to students, it cannot be a teaching, because when it's teaching, then of course it's difficult. How are you going to teach it? It has to be learning. There has to be a learning process in the room,
that's
and not a teaching process.
At an unnamed place across the road, they have teaching rather than learning.
No.
But there's a... When we sat, that's what we got... cut down for.
Yeah.
The bottom line is, that's what Torah is all about. If God forbid the Torah was just given to us, written, finished, then we would be passive. And there would be nothing that excites us, but this is Judaism, this is what we gotta do, have a good night. When it's given to us as Torah Be'al Peh, in the sense of, it's an oral Torah now written down, it's written down but not written down. It's, yes, it's written down in text, but it's not a piece of literature. So you don't have to just analyze the piece of literature. You have to be part of it. How do you be part of it? When you're part of the discussion. And therefore, Abaye and Rava were geniuses. They knew, oh, we're giving the Jewish people this. No more oral Torah, quote-unquote. How are we going to ensure that the Jewish people won't be static? We'll just learn about and rather not be part of. We're going to leave it as a protocol. And that's what they did. I'm looking at a page here in Menachos, Daf Kuf Yud Amud Aleph. I believe at the beginning of the page here, they're quoting a pasuk that has to do with Mitzrayim and whatnot. By the end of the page, they're into Korbanot. And finally, at the bottom, talking again about Reach Nicholach and whatnot. One page, one big balagan. But because it's a balagan, it's a discussion, you're part of it. That's why I believe the Gemara was written the way it was. Comment.
Also, historically, there was no time to redact it further. They're lucky they got down what they got down.
That's true.
No, that's not to lessen what you said, but
that's right.
That's why the Yerushalmi is a bigger mess than the Bavli.
Not exactly. It's actually not that Yerushalmi. It's pretty straightforward.
I don't know. That's what's written. I mean, I'm not. Yeah. That's every source I go, I've gone into. That's what they write.
Anyway, to sum up, gentlemen, the Gemara is one big balagan, and it's on purpose so that you'd be part of it. If it was totally and utterly organized, you just receive it. And you go on. It has to be a balagan, so you'll be part of it. It's a discussion. And when you teach it, you have to teach it as a discussion, not teach it as a piece of literature. And therefore, when you ultimately open up a page of Gemara, you have to feel, I am part of this process of learning Torah throughout the generations. I'm not just a receiver. I am a teacher. Just like everyone around the table is a receiver and a teacher. Therefore, the classical way to learn Gemara is how?
With a chavrusa.
It's very rare to hear, I have a chavrusa in Mishnah Berurah. I have a chavrusa in Tirtzeh Shulchan Aruch. There, you receive, you understand, you go on. In Gemara, you need a chavrusa because by definition it's a discussion, so you have to discuss it with someone. So unless you talk to yourself, it would be important to discuss it with someone. Ad kan.
I think it's a Rabbin and Rashi.
I think you're right. I'm sorry. I said Abaye and Rava earlier.
Yeah.
No, Rabina and Ravashi. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Rabina and Ravashi, who edited the Gemara.
He did that deliberately, so if you're paying attention.
But sometimes the time, you know what they're talking
That's
about.
That's an old teaching joke. Even Rav Soloveitchik used to say that. When he said something wrong, they corrected him. He said, I wanted to see if you're still awake.
The only,